Welcome to Grow in Grace Podcast, where we want to encourage you to think deeply about God so that you can know Him and love Him better. Join us as we strive to grow in grace together. Welcome to the Grow in Grace Podcast. We are your hosts, Shanna and Kristen, and today we are talking about the holiness of God. Kristen, it's really good to see your face.
It is so good to see your face, to hear your voice, to talk to you. We legitimately have not, like, we've caught up and talked maybe, you know, just like, hey, I'm alive every day. I think we've managed that. But it has been a busy season for both of us.
Yeah. So people don't realize we talk daily.
Yeah.
And so there's some days where you're like, I just need to know you're alive. And I'm like, I'm here.
Yeah, we talk daily, and it's obviously like we're best friends. So we talk about everything that's going on in our lives, from like, Shanna will be like, my kids are driving me crazy. Or, you know, I'll say my dog is driving me crazy. Sometimes it's like 2 or 3 o'clock and I'm like, I haven't heard from Shanna. Is she alive? Like, is she okay? Have the kids tied her up? What's going on here? But it's been a super busy last 2 weeks. I had VBS, and I know you did as well. Like, we had kind of our VBSs concurrently, and we do a little bit of a different type of VBS. We call it a sports and arts camp, and we did sports, arts, and science. So I got to be a huddle leader for our basketball.
That's so fun.
It was for, they were the third and fourth graders. Yes. Third and fourth graders is what I had. And it was for basketball, and it was a lot of fun. It was very exhausting. It was very hot that week. So we do like a football camp as well, part of the sports, and they were outside. And so they had to have a lot of water. It was like 95 degrees, and that's not normal in Ohio in June. So it was a lot of fun though. We had a lot of fun, had a lot of kids come out, and then I was sick this week. That's primarily why we haven't really talked a whole lot.
Yeah.
And your life was just as busy, if not busier than mine.
It has been crazy. It has been crazy. Yeah. We had our BBS the same week. And we had a little over 600 kids.
Ooh, and that's a lot of sweet kids,
a lot of sweet little voices singing. But I was over all of the small groups. And so it was just a lot, you know, like putting kids in groups and getting the curriculum ready and making sure all this, man, we had some fantastic small group leaders, but making sure they had everything they needed. And I think I came home and took a nap like every single day. I'm like, I am not used to this.
Yeah. Because your guys's VBS was like during the day, right?
It was in the morning.
It was in the morning. So then like
in the morning
that week, that's why we didn't talk a whole lot, right? You were, I was working all day, and then you had a VBS, and then you would take a nap, and then I would go, because our VBS or our sports and arts camp was in the evening.
Yeah.
So we would literally like two shifts in the night, we would just check in and say, hey, I'm alive. VBS is killing me.
But we are alive. But
it's a good thing that it's only once a year.
But it is one of my most favorite weeks though. And we had some really, really sweet conversations with kids, and we've got a lot of really good feedback. And so it's just really encouraging. And right after VBS ended, my brother and his wife and little girl came and stayed the week with us, and they just left today. So I've just been, you know, I've had a family in and church responsibilities, but you know, one thing I can count on is at least every 2 weeks, I'm going to see your face on here.
Every 2 weeks we have to meet and talk and catch up. And literally we are catching up with each other. I know some of my friends have mentioned knowing what's going on because I catch them up on the last 2 weeks in talking to you on these podcast
episodes.
Like,
well,
so they're like, oh, okay, that's what Kristen's been up to. So it's not just Shanna that I don't get to talk to all the time. Yeah. It's some of my other friends that I don't get to always connect with. So it was funny. I connected with one and she's like, well, I know like what's been going on. You had family in town because I heard on your podcast. And I was like, well, I guess that's another blessing from this is that my friends can keep up with me.
That's exactly right. The banter is not for nothing. Yeah. Hey, one thing that I'm really excited about is the merch that we are working on.
Oh, it's you've it's done such a good job.
Well, like, I mean, one thing. I've done one thing. But we put a little like teaser out on our social media, and we have like, we're working on this like super cute coffee mug. And then we'll have like some shirts and some like hoodies and hats and things like that that are coming. So I just wanted to put that out there so people can check out our website.
Yes.
For that will be on the way.
And it's, yeah, super excited. It's such a pretty logo. Like the person who made our logo did such a great job that I'm really excited to have merch, not just because it's our merch, but because it's a pretty thing. Like, I have an obsession with coffee mugs already. So why not have one with our logo on it?
Yeah. I have this thing for like stickers, and I was like ordering samples, and I ordered this, and it was like way bigger than what I thought.
It's like a bumper sticker.
It is massive. And so I have it's on my computer, on my laptop. And I'm like, I'm not even mad that it takes up half my laptop screen. It's so pretty. I don't even care. Maybe not list that one because it's really large.
Maybe not do the large one, do the smaller one. That won't take up quite so much space on people's whatever they stick stickers on.
Yes.
I'm not all a the sticker things. Girl.
I know. We are so different in so many ways.
We are different in this way. You have your stickers. I have my mugs.
It's true. It's true. Well, friend, I'm really excited to talk about today's attribute. And sometimes, like as I was studying for this, I was kind of like, why didn't you do this one first? Because we started like before the beginning, like, but this one is just so good and deep. And I think it made me just like want to like just worship even more, you know? And so today we're talking about his holiness, God's holiness. Mm. He is perfect, pure, and without sin. And I think one of my favorite things when we are talking about this is just to remember that this also applies for us. And so as we're going to kind of get into what that means, it's like when you think of holiness, you just think totally of God only, but it's really encouraging, and it should cause us to like worship and awe and reverence that this holy God has come down to us. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So I love talking about this. So,
and we'll probably meander into a few different topics of that kind, you know, like holiness just encompasses a lot, and it touches a lot of different attributes and just kind of how it plays out. So we'll refer back to some that we've already discussed. We'll refer to some that we might not have discussed or might not get a chance to discuss, but his holiness, like you said, it is something that he alone is holy, but yet we are called to be holy as well. So we'll get to talk about what that looks like and how that is a communicable attribute, and that it is something that we are called to be holy and how that plays out in our lives.
Yeah. Yeah. So when we are talking about God's holiness, like to call him holy is really like we speak of his majesty and his purity. Mm-hmm. So he is set apart. He is pure. He is undefiled. And this particular attribute proclaims like the very nature of God, which when you think about it, is incredible. Like the very nature of God is that he is holy. Mm-hmm. He is holy in all that he is and all that he does. Like his holiness is who he is. And this attribute is really significant because it's the attribute most often used to describe God and the attribute most often linked with the name of God.
Yeah.
So we see, it's all over scripture. Like the word holy stands out. It's almost 700 times. You'll either see like holy or something like sanctified, like 700 times is a lot. Mm-hmm. And it says, like Revelations and Isaiah both say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And so it's the only attribute of God that's repeated three times in scripture. Right.
Which we know is like that literary device that brings emphasis to it. So it's the only description that's repeated three times. Like, that is very significant that mm-hmm. no other attribute is joined to the name of God with greater frequency than his mm-hmm. holiness. He calls himself the Holy One. Like, it is something that he refers to himself as well. And it's interesting because as we think through holiness, and when we talk about even holy people or holy things, they are considered holy when they're separated not only from sin, but to God. So we'll hear that a lot, that it's not only a separation away from sin, but that we are separated to God. But the unique thing about God's holiness is that when we call him holy, he's not separated to anyone or anything. He's just self-existent, which is kind of mm-hmm. calls back to what we had talked about of before the beginning, that he is self-existent because he's self-existent. He mm-hmm. doesn't and cannot exist the same way we do or anything else does. It mm-hmm. sets him apart from all of creation as a being that is distinct from creation. He mm-hmm. is holy. Yeah. We see so many different examples of God's holiness and the intensity of it. Like, I think sometimes we forget about the intensity of his holiness. We see it in Moses in the burning bush, right? When Moses comes up to the burning bush, he is told to remove his sandals because he is on holy ground. Mm-hmm. And the intensity of that burning bush, and that it does not burn up the bush, but then how Moses is changed because of that. The temple and God dwelling in the Holy of Holies, like the intensity and the care that had to be taken before you went in to God's presence. Isaiah and the burning coal. We'll talk about Isaiah 6 a lot. Mm-hmm. And we could talk about Isaiah 6 a lot, but that's where, you know, the angels are saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And mm-hmm. Isaiah's response is, woe is me, mm-hmm. a man of unclean lips. You know, like mm-hmm. he has seen the holiness of God, and therefore he sees himself as he rightly is, yeah. as unholy.
You know, something I think of also is just like Jesus's example when he is teaching his disciples how to pray. Mm-hmm. He's like, you pray, like, you know, like, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Like, mm-hmm. holy is your name. Like, Jesus himself says that. And so that's just another way of just saying, like, God is holy, you know? And when you were just talking about, like, in the Old Testament and all the examples that we have with Moses and the temple and Isaiah, but how the holiness of God has always kind of separated in God, mm-hmm. right? And it wasn't until, like, now you have, like, the person in the Trinity, the Holy Spirit.
Literally in his name,
literally,
right?
Like, in his name.
It is the Holy Spirit. Like, that is how intrinsic the holiness yeah. of God is that in that person of the Trinity,
yeah,
it is the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. So I love that we have just like access to a holy God directly now because of that, you know?
Right.
You know, the holiness of God really does point us, like we were just saying, to our triune God, that he's holy, holy, holy. And are you ready for your bingo card that we said that I am going to do?
Can anyone guess? Should we guess what's about to come out?
Who is
Shanna going to quote? Your guess is now. Okay,
R.C. Sproul.
R.C. Sproul. Yay.
He says, only once in sacred scripture is an attribute of God elevated to the third degree. Only once is a characteristic of God mentioned three times in succession. The Bible says that God is holy, holy, holy. Not that he is merely holy or even just holy. He is holy, holy, holy. The Bible never says that God is love, 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 or mercy, 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 or wrath, 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 or justice, justice, justice. It does say that he is holy, 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 and that the whole earth is full of his glory.
And that is significant, right?
Like, it is
so significant that is the attribute of God that is repeated like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's like, you know, when you think, like, one of the first things, when you think about God, one of the first things that come to your mind, I think sometimes is influenced by our background. So you might grow up in a church that is like, really, like, it's emphasized on God's love. So everyone feels better, like, welcome. And we want everyone to love each other. Mm-hmm. And then you might go to a church which is kind of where, how I grew up, where we really focus on like his justice and like, everyone better behave and follow what he says, you know? And, you know, like God deserves our worship for both his love and his justice, because both of those things are defined by his holiness. Like his love is a holy love and his justice is a holy justice. And I think when you, like, what, one of the first things that you think about, like when you think about God, is it, he is like, I'm scared of him. Right. Or is it like, he is just this big cuddly teddy bear, or is it that he's holy?
And I know we say often, I say often that when you elevate one attribute over another, that you can get into trouble. I am not sure if that applies to holiness. Like, I don't know if we can hold God's holiness in too high of regard.
Yeah.
Obviously it all works in conjunction with the others, but his holiness, I think often we don't hold it in high enough regard.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times we, in an effort to make ourselves feel better, try to diminish his holiness, because it's when we truly see his holiness, right? Is when we start seeing a true and accurate representation of who we are. That's when Isaiah said, woe is me, I am of unclean lips.
We don't like to feel bad about ourselves.
Right.
Right. Like that doesn't make us feel comfortable. We like to focus on like how we are made right and whole and who Christ is, and there's forgiveness and absolutely yes and amen. But that's only because of his grace and his holiness, because we are separated because we're sinners. We're separated from his holiness.
Right. And you even think, like, we talk about Old Testament examples. We have New Testament examples of that as well. Like when Jesus calls Peter and they're fishing and he tells them to cast out his net, they pull in the net and it's breaking and it's, you know, they've been fishing all night and hadn't caught anything. And that's when Peter realizes, like, oh, I am a sinner. Like I am in the presence of holiness, of someone who is not human, that he is God. It is a reflection of, like, he starts to reflect on, if this is God, then I am not. Like I am a sinner. And like you said, that we, without having a right view of God, we don't have a right view of ourselves.
And it's only like through Christ, like through Jesus, that we see like the exact imprint of the holiness of God.
Right.
Which, you know, leads us to how are we called to be holy if we are sinful people, you know? But, and so I think a lot of times people do think that holiness is an incommunicable attribute. That's something that only God can be, but it is an attribute of God that we can reflect. And it's at the very center of the gospel. It's being set apart. We're not just saved from our fallenness, but we're saved to holiness.
Right.
So it is from death to life, from depravity to holiness. And I mean, the whole Testament, like you said, the Old Testament has a ton to say about holiness, like repeatedly.
Yeah. I mean, you constantly see it in Leviticus, right? It says, consecrate yourself therefore and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. You shall be holy to me, for I am the Lord, for I, the Lord, am holy and have separated you from the peoples that you should be mine. That it's constantly throughout the Old Testament, specifically in Leviticus, very much in Leviticus, a lot talks about the holiness of God, but we also see it in the New Testament, right? What we've discussed this time of that you shall be holy, for I am holy. First Peter tells us, First Thessalonians tells us that God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. And God calls us to be who he declares us to be.
That's really good. We are repeatedly, as you just said, like it's all through the Bible. What did we say? Like 700 times it talks about holiness, right? And then all through the Old Testament, we see it in the New Testament. We, we're called to be holy, but like how, you know, like, I'm like, okay,
because we look at our lives and we're like, oh, I'm not holy. Like I am not like intrinsically of myself. I cannot be holy.
Right.
And even with the Holy Spirit, we're like, oh, I'm not always holy.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. I think of, you know, like Hebrews 10:10 says that we've been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Like, can we think about that verse for 1 second?
Yeah.
we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. So there's like two types of like holiness. Like, I guess, bear with me for a second. Let me tease this out. Holiness that we could kind of talk about when it relates to the believer. And the first one is what we would say positional holiness. And that's just that Christ's sacrifice gives us positional holiness before God. We are declared holy the moment that we trust Christ as Savior. Mm-hmm. And it's through the union with Christ that we are declared to be righteous and set apart as holy people. And one of our pastors at our church, when he talks about things like this, he says, you know, when God looks at us, he sees the righteousness of his son. And like that has been so encouraging to me to think that like I am a sinner in everything that I have done or everything that I have thought or, you know, every sinful act and thought. When God looks at me, he sees the righteousness of his son. Like I have positional holiness before God.
Right. So when we think of our holiness, when we think about it, does it lead us to despair because we cannot do it? Or does it lead us to hope because mm-hmm. it has been already done for us? Like our position mm-hmm. in Christ as believers means that, like you said, that when God looks at us, he sees the righteousness of Christ. He sees the holiness of Christ. Mm-hmm. He sees that and no longer sees where we are failing.
Yeah.
And where we could never measure up.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have positional holiness through Christ, right? But God is also making us more and more holy throughout our lives. And we would just call that sanctification, right? Mm-hmm. It's what we would also call practical holiness. Growing in holiness also means growing in our hatred of sin, not our intolerance of sin, mm-hmm. our hatred of sin. Like it means like constantly learning to think, speak, and act like Christ every hour of every day. And I just think that there are so many sins that I just tolerate.
Right.
But I don't hate it.
And then I could like reason, right? Be like, yeah. Well, if this person hadn't said this, then I would not have reacted in anger.
Yeah.
Well,
we're really good about trying to do that.
Right, I can't control that other person. Mm-hmm. The only person I can control is myself. And so that's who I'm responsible for, right? Is my own personal sin. Mm-hmm. And it's not dependent on someone else's sin, whether they sin or not. My choice to sin is not reliant on that. They can choose to sin towards me, and I can choose through the power of the Holy Spirit to not sin.
Yeah.
But that requires me to have a hatred of anger or a hatred of that specific sin. It requires me to hate it, to, like you said, not just, oh, I don't like it. Like mm-hmm. it is a true hatred. Like if you think mm-hmm. of when you hate a food, you will go out of your way to avoid it.
Literally me and tomatoes.
That's what I was like, just thinking, like tomatoes. Like you won't even eat the dish if it has tomatoes on it. Like you need it to go back. It needs to be made without tomatoes. You can't just pick it off. That is a true hatred of a food, is that you will go out of your way to avoid it. Yeah. And you will inconvenience yourself to avoid it. And so do we have that same hatred towards our sin?
Yeah. Sorry, I'm like getting convicted myself. Right,
we'll just sit here in conviction for a minute.
I'm just sitting here like it is. I think we all just would love to not sin, right? Mm-hmm. I hate that. I mean, like, I don't like that I do it, but then like to be so disgusted by it.
Right.
Man, that's really good. And like, yeah, it's all through the person and work of Christ that we are able to have both positional holiness and practical holiness, right? Mm-hmm. Which is why, back to our very first episode, why we have to remind ourselves of the gospel daily, mm-hmm. That sanctification is a good thing. It's making us more like Christ. It's a just good like, thing.
Was it, I don't remember if you said it in the, in one of the episodes or if it was in one point when we were talking of viewing conviction as like a good thing. Like we've always viewed conviction as a very negative thing.
And repentance. Convicted.
Repentance. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's what it was, is that repentance is not a, has always been viewed in a negative light, but that is a good thing because that is God still working in your life.
Yeah.
Right. It is that he is continuing to convict you of that, and that you are continuing to repent of those sins and pursuing that holiness, which is what we're being called to do.
That we are loved so much that he didn't just send his son to die for us and leave us there, but that it's like, hey, this is better. Like I'm calling you into something better.
Right.
And that's just so encouraging. I think when we're talking about our life, there's just so much talk about like, you know, what am I to do with my life, or what, who am I to be, or whatever. And, you know, I think we just see over and over in scripture that God is more concerned with who we're becoming than what are we to do. Like, who are we becoming? Are we becoming holy as he is holy? Are we striving to think, speak, and act like him all the time?
Right. Because as we strive to become holy, that will affect how we are acting and doing, right? Yeah. As we strive to become holy, it is affecting every aspect of our lives, not just the internal holiness aspect of it, but how we are thinking, how we are interacting with others, just what we are doing and how we go throughout our day-to-day life. Like it is going to impact everything.
Yeah. One of the things that my husband says, which is I find helpful, like imagery helps me. So like if you want me to learn something, draw it for me or put it on something.
I can't draw.
Yeah. Put it on something, like give me an image in my head. But he talks about like looking at like a cross or like a T chart, you know, and it is like your relationship vertically affects your relationship horizontally.
Absolutely.
And so the more that you are trying to draw near to Christ and the more you're trying to grow in holiness, that will also go out horizontally in how we deal with those around us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is so encouraging.
That husband of yours, he has some wisdom.
Sometimes. I'm just kidding.
He won't listen to this. It's fine.
You call them out.
I will.
I love it. So what were you going to say?
I was going to say, I think I'm the only one that can call him out.
It's true. Like, it's true. You guys are very, hey, one second. Cause we need to get back to this. Cause you know, it's God's holiness, but fun fact, I had my brother, I haven't told you this. So everyone can hear at the same time. My brother was here and I was like, hey, I'm just curious. Like y'all listeners, don't come at me with this Enneagram stuff. Okay. Don't do it. I'm just saying, I was like, I wonder what your Enneagram number is. And cause I was like, you know, he said something that made me wonder. I was like, cause my husband's and Kristen, my best friend, is the same. Guess what his is?
Is he an eight?
He is an eight. Literally. It's like the Lord knew. You know,
he prepared you from birth. Well, not from his birth, from your brother's
from
birth.
From when I was four.
Yeah. From when you were four, he was preparing you for me and then used both your brother and me to prepare you for your husband and that's how it. We are.
I'm surrounded by these eights here.
It's fine.
It's funny. Back to holiness.
Back to God's holiness.
Yeah. So, you know, are we becoming holy as he is holy? And God gives us positional holiness through his son and grants us practical holiness, which we would say, which is sanctification by the power of the Spirit. And so we have a couple more of these attributes to do, but then we're going to get into some bigger topics, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I hope that people are kind of seeing the Trinity in a lot of these things and how it all works Trinitarianly, like God gives positional holiness through his son and grants it by the practical holiness by the power of the Spirit. They're always working together. Mm-hmm. And it's really fun to be able to read scripture with that lens. because the first time I started doing that, I'm like, oh my goodness, the Trinity is literally all throughout the Bible. You know, he wasn't just this Holy Spirit wasn't just like hovering over the waters here and then like a dove, you know, at Jesus' baptism.
That's not the
and then
only
like
time
when the tongue
appeared.
Exactly. It's everywhere. And it's so fascinating. And so, once we get through the next couple of attributes, we're going to hit some things like that, that hopefully will help people be able to, read and understand their Bible more and then therefore love God more, you know?
Yeah.
But I think just the most encouraging thing is that God is transforming us moment by moment into a person who reflects the image of God. And until he comes back to make all things new and the new heavens and the new earth, there will be struggle. There will be sadness and trouble and death and sickness. But in these moments, we know that he is near to the brokenhearted and he is transforming us to be into his image until one day that these are all wiped away, you know?
Yeah.
And it's really, really encouraging.
Very, very encouraging.
He's holy, holy, holy.
And we are to be holy because he's holy and we can be holy.
I love that. Hey, what are we talking about next time?
We are talking.
It's one of my favorite attributes.
I was going to say, I feel like we talk about how like each one of them is one of our favorites, but this one really is. but we are talking about God's faithfulness. Mm. And I think both of us have walked in times of our life that his faithfulness has been made very clear. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why it's so dear. I think a lot of people will resonate and do resonate as they start learning about God's faithfulness, about how God is faithful.
And he does what he says he'll do.
He does what he says he'll do. Mm-hmm. And how comforting and encouraging that is no matter what. So, that's going to be a fun one for sure. Mm-hmm. All of them have been great and wonderful and convicting. Faithfulness is going to be, it's going to be a good one. It might be a long one is what I'm concerned about.
I think that all these attributes in general, we're just scratching the surface of it, but I think just in today's society, there's just so much like navel gazing going on where we just look down. I've been so incredibly busy these last few weeks that sometimes it's easy for me just to look down and, kind of, you know, preparing for these episodes is causing me to study his attributes. And it's really been, encouraging to make me lift my gaze.
Yeah.
At like who he is, especially when like the mundane things or like the day-to-day craziness that happens where I'm just exhausted. And I have to get up and do it all over again tomorrow. You know, sometimes it's just helpful to like lift my gaze and be like, man, he is good and he is sovereign. He is holy and he is faithful. And that's really encouraging. So I hope others are getting encouraged by this as well.
As always, we'll make our plea of, we'd love to hear feedback. We love to hear from you all and to know how God is using these and to know what God is doing in your life. So there is our Facebook page that you can like and communicate with us there, on our Instagram, and also on our website. There is a contact us form that we would love to hear from you. Again, like and rate, or like, rate, subscribe, rate, leave comments, all those
however
things.
It works.
Clearly, we are professionals at this, and we know what we're doing. We enjoy hearing from everyone and how God is, I think it's one of my favorite things to hear from people is how God is working in their lives, whether it be through our episodes or just how God is working in your life. That is, even if it's not related to our episodes, we love to hear that kind of stuff. So,
yeah, I think one of the things it's kind of like the language that we use at my church, but I say it to my kids all the time, is, what did you learn about God, or have you been reminded of something that's good, true, and beautiful about who God is? Because I think we can just sometimes just get so busy that we forget. And we need to be reminded of that. And so I love reading people's stories and hearing from like what God is doing in their life. Cause he is working.
Mm-hmm.
He's working all the time. And it may just be, hey, reminding you that, hey, I'm good and you can trust me because I'm good. Or it may be learning something completely new, but we would absolutely love to hear what God's showing you, because it'd be an encouragement to us.
Absolutely. It always is.
Okay. Hey, let's talk more this week.
Yes, please. Because no lie, we had to have a FaceTime before we recorded this so that we could kind of catch up on some things going on in our lives.
We sure did.
And so it would have eliminated that, the need for that, if we could have talked a little bit more. But
yeah.
So we've talked to each other for like 3 hours now, 2 hours, something like that. It's been a long time.
Probably go tell my kids goodnight. Okay.
Oh, well, you know, that would be a good thing. Well, friend. Until next time.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Grow in Grace podcast. You can find us at growingracepodcast.com for links to all of our social medias, resources we suggest, and to listen to previous episodes. We hope you can join us next time as we strive together to grow in grace.